I don't know how many of you follow U.S. politics, but one of the most recent shakeups in U.S. politics was the death this week of one of the most colorful members of the Supreme Court, Antonin Scalia, who was known, among other things, for being extremely witty in his very harsh and very pointed insults on the Supreme Court, known for his claiming that opposing arguments were, to quote, pure applesauce, or in a memorable moment over the summer, saying that the jurisprudence of the United States Supreme Court had descended from the jurisprudence of John Marshall to the mystical aphorisms of a fortune cookie. In light of his death, there's been discussion a little bit about his the propriety of the way that he spoke. And it's made me think a little bit about it in the Gemara as well, because if we know, you look through the Gemara, you find some very colorful insults, whether they be he must have been saying that when he was sleeping, or in Yevamos Daf Tes, Nidmeli she'ein lo moach, kamadumali she'ein lo moach bekod kado, it seems as if there's no brain in his head. And the question is, how do we deal with those insults? So that's what I've been thinking about today, so I'll just share a few thoughts on it. And of course, this continues beyond the Gemara, right? The Ravid is known for his harshness, and if you look through Tshuvot, the Rivash, the Maharik, they're quite impressive in their ability to insult in rhyme and double and triple entendres. So there are different approaches to deal with the existence of all these insults in the Gemara. The Chavos Ya'ir, in a celebrated Tshuva in Tshuvah Kuf Nun Bet, which is quoted as well by the Piskei Tshuva, commenting on Shulchan Aruch Simin Reish Mem Bet Sif Lamed Gimel, where Shulchan Aruch says that the kavod of your friend should be to you like the kavod of your Rebbe, kavod of your Rebbe should be like kavod Shamayim. The Pischei Tshuva there says, well, wait a second, don't we see that the Amoraim insult each other all the time? Where's the kavod? So he quotes this Tshuva of the Chavos Ya'ir. And the Chavos Ya'ir's approach, which is taken by the Chavetz Chaim as well, he quotes this halach in the introduction to Chavetz Chaim, is that really the insults are not insults. When they say things like, if he said that, he must have been sleeping. What they're really saying is he's such a big Talmud Chacham, he couldn't have said that if he was awake. He never would have said it. And he goes through great lengths to show how most of the insults in Shas are not really insults. And this position really says that there is no room for harshness. And, you know, we could point to the fact that the Gemara in Erevin Yud Gimel, when explaining why it is that we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, even though Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, it's because Beis Hillel was Nochin Va'aluvin. They listened to Beis Shammai. They were respectful. They put his position before theirs. And there is an inherent logic to that, to say that it must be that even though we see these insults, this harshness, it must be that that's not really what they meant, and there is no room for such personal insults, even in the discussions of Talmud Torah. And that's really the position taken by the Chavos Ya'ir. And the Chavos Ya'ir notes that this doesn't work for all cases in Shas, and he has particular problem with the case in the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tes. As I quoted before, Ein lo moach bekod kado, he has no brain in his head, which the Chavos Ya'ir could not think of a way to make that complimentary. So he then offers another possibility, and Shulchan Aruch passing this way as well, and Siman Reish Mem Vav in Yerideya, as the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Hey Halacha Dalet, I believe, where he says that a Rebbe, when speaking to a Talmud, is allowed to be harsh because it forces him to take a step back, to rethink, and in general, teachers have the ability of Zrok Mara LeTalmidim if they deem it necessary and wise, which we can argue about whether it still is, they're allowed to be harsh. And in that particular case where it's Rebbe speaking to Levi, and as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin, Rebbe was Levi's teacher, perhaps that's another justification. Now, we could extend this beyond what the Chavos Ya'ir was comfortable extending it with, and others do suggest this, but perhaps that same logic applies not just from a Rebbe to a Talmud, but in a context where that is the discourse, a certain level of harshness is allowed because it does force people to rethink, to think carefully about how they're talking. And bringing it back to the Scalia case, he was known as an arch conservative, and one of the most liberal justices is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but they were known as the odd couple because they were also very close friends and used to have dinner together and spend New Year's Eve together. And she said about him exactly this, that his insults were great because they forced the people on the court, including her, to rethink their opinions. And, you know, if you get a harsh insult like that, you at least rethink your opinion. Even if you continue to disagree, when you see the vehemence on the other side, it does encourage you to think more carefully about what you're saying, and your own position, even if it ends up disagreeing, does come out stronger. So others suggest that perhaps that's the answer. In fact, they are insults, but they're insults in this context, and therefore it is permitted because it encourages people to rethink what they are talking about. But a caveat should be noted that even if it is in theory legitimate, we have to take into account context. Right? If it was legitimate in the time of the Gemara, that's because that is the way they spoke. And we really have to wonder whether in a modern context people won't be offended by what you're saying, right? If in the time of the Gemara they were not offended, so then we could say that maybe it was part of the process of seeking truth. But if in the modern context, often people are not accustomed to this type of harshness, it'll be taken the wrong way, and then it might really be problematic because if the only justification is that it's effective in furthering truth, then if all it does is hurt the other person, it's going to be illegitimate. Vachikam Keshet has a interesting sefer they wrote. It's 1,013 pages long or something like that, called Amri B'Marava, where he goes through differences between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And he actually argues that this is one of the differences between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, that it wasn't the culture in Eretz Yisrael, and you don't find these insults in the Yerushalmi, and you do find in the Bavli, which would further this contention that even if it's legitimate, it's culture-dependent, and we would have to ask, if we were looking halacha l'maisa, in our context, is it something that's beneficial, that is going to help, or is it going to be something that's just going to hurt people, in which case, even if it was legitimate in the time of the Gemara, it wouldn't be Bizman Hazeh. Just one last point that I was looking around, someone made, and I think it's a good point. Professor Orbach, a scholar of Talmud and other things, notes that if you actually are carefully read through the Gemara, you will find these insults in internal Beis Medrash discussions, but not when people are talking outside the Beis Medrash. And he argues that really this was part of the internal Beis Medrash dialogue, but it wasn't part of culture, and if it was going to get out, so then it would be a problem. So I saw someone note that if that's the case, another sort of caveat would be nowadays where, you know, a shir you give or a conversation you have in the Beis Medrash is not necessarily going to stay in the Beis Medrash. Someone may be recording the shir that you give. So then what may be legitimate in internal Beis Medrash discourse in a vacuum will not be in the modern case because someone's going to hear it outside who's not accustomed to the Beis Medrash discourse, and it's going to be a chilul Hashem. They're going to think you are trying to insult people. Anyways, those are just some thoughts on the potential explanations and potential problems with insults in discourse, a sort of, I don't know, lezecher nishbas of Anton Scalia, as you were.